I like when Connor gets going and that big old vein starts sticking out of his neck. That means he's giving it everything he's got. So, hey, glad you're here today. Real quick, let's welcome everybody online, all of our online people. So talking about online, hey, I shared this with the first service. When we started doing the live stream in the old building over here, 74 people, Darren told me, would watch it. And that's 74 people that would watch it from the beginning to the end and really finish it. 74 people. Now that we've moved into here, now that Darren has stepped the game up, Darren has done a great job leading this thing and the rest of the team and all the things that have come up with this live stream thing, there's about 1,000 people who are watching from the beginning to the end. So it's cool, man. It's cool to see what we're a part of. It's cool to see that we're all in this place that's doing things like that. And I'll just say while we're on numbers, it's not about numbers, and it's not about, that's not where our head is, and we're not worried about all that. We're worried about that God sending people that need to come will come. But you know what? Last week we had 834 people come to this church. Bumping 1,000, like a lot of things are happening. And also some more numbers, about 8 or 9 people gave their life to Christ last week for the very first time. So God is working. Cool things are happening. We're in our third week of heaven and hell. Last week, Cody did a great job. He talked about the story between the rich guy and Lazarus in Luke 16. And those of you that missed it, those of you online that missed it, sorry, we had some difficulty with our live stream. The things happened. It ain't always perfect. But anyway, it was a great deal. It was a great message. And his point was that you and I, we have to choose. We have to choose where we're going to spend eternity. You and I have to choose where we're going to live forever. And hopefully that you have, or maybe you haven't yet, but maybe you will choose to seek the Lord, to let Jesus be the Lord of your life, and that way we will spend eternity in heaven. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about heaven. We're going to talk about what heaven looks like, and we're going to talk about things that we can look forward to and how we need to be pondering on heaven daily and how we need to be thinking about that more than we're thinking about the things of this world, because time in this world is nothing compared to eternity in heaven, right? So if you have your Bibles, turn to John 14. We're going to go verses 1 through 3, John 14. Marley told me to slow down last service. All right, so verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So, Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you so much for these people, Lord. I thank you for the families represented here. I thank you for what you're doing in Bethel, God. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Thank you for letting us work for you, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me today, God. I pray that this crud in my head would not affect this message. I pray, God, that you would just get behind me, that it would be your words and not my words, and that I would speak exactly everything you want me to say, God, and that it would just touch the people here in a relevant way, God. We love you. We thank you. Be with this sermon. Be with this message. And everybody said, amen. Man, so that verse right there, it's awesome, right? We serve an awesome God, like really, like Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, is saying right there to his disciples, he's saying, man, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go prepare a place for you outside of this world. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for God's mercy. God's mercy is him giving us things that we don't deserve, right? I don't deserve him to go to heaven, and I don't deserve him to go up there and prepare a place for me to live the way that I've lived before Christ and all these things before it was covered under the blood. Like, I don't deserve those things, but I'm thankful and I'm excited and I'm grateful to see what he has prepared for you and for me in heaven. So how many of you know, like, good fathers? Man, good fathers don't give kids bad gifts, right? We're not going to give. When I give Holden and Hayes a gift, like I don't go try to pick out the sorriest gift in there. I try to think of the best thing I can get them, and I try to give that with love to my kids, you know? And then a lot of us in here are parents. If you're a parent, raise your hand. Look at the room. Look around. Man, there's old parents, young parents, new parents. There's parents everywhere. We spend a lot of time as parents preparing things, right? We spend a lot of time in my house right now. We're preparing diapers. We're preparing wet wipes, mainly me. I have to change all the diapers. But, man, we spend time preparing meals and preparing milk and doing this. And some of you I've been seeing on Facebook are preparing a dorm room for your child who's going to college. Man, I'm so thankful my dorm room days are over. Woo. Glad I lived through them too. But there were different times in our life, different places in our life of everybody with their kids preparing things for their kids. And I just say all that to say, man, we spend time preparing those for the ones that we love. A month ago, which was July, Marley began preparing for the boys' birthdays. And they're not till September and December. But she's ahead of the game. She's always ahead of the game. She's always thinking about the future, and it's very thought out, and she's thinking about what time and what day and where and the most convenient for grandparents to travel and what friends to invite, what friends not to invite for Holden's age and Hayes's age and what to eat and what not to eat and all the different things that come. And Holden, man, he's going to have a Toy Story birthday party because that's what Hayes said he needed to have. And Hayes, he's going to have a John Wayne birthday party because him and Clara just love John Wayne. And so she's got this app on her phone, and she's made these awesome invitations of John Wayne for Hayes and Toy Story for Holden. And I just say all this stuff to say, my point is that her children, they're her children, and she wants to do well for them. She wants to make things last for them. She wants them to be able to look back on their life and be like, man, I was loved, man. My mama took care of me. My mom took time out of her day to do these things for me. And I just want to say, also, it's the same kids that make her want to pull her hair out on a daily basis. I mean, it's just the way that it is, and that's how it is with our Father in heaven. When you and I, man, we get on track and we get on a roll and we're doing this and we're doing that, and the Lord's like, man, look at that guy go. Look at him go. He's doing good. But then here in a minute, we get caught up in worldly things and we get caught up in the things that we're doing in the world, and then we backslide a little bit on our walk with Christ, and don't you know the Lord's like, gosh, pay attention, Cole. So I'm just saying, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what the all-powerful Son of God has prepared for me in heaven and what he has prepared for you in heaven. So that makes me think about this book of Revelation over here in the Bible. And be honest, man, have you ever gone to Revelation and read about the things of heaven? Have you ever read there and maybe you became a little bit overwhelmed? If you're being honest, you probably got overwhelmed. I mean, sometimes when I go over there and I read and I'm like, whoa, that's wild. Whoa, I don't really understand that or all these things. Like, there's some wild things in there. And if you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, where's the book of Revelation? You need to go to Mardell's this afternoon and get a Bible. Last book. Come on. But really, there's some wild stuff in there. There's some stuff in there that we don't understand. There's stuff in there that we've never seen. It's hard to comprehend. But can I just say, don't let the scriptures of heaven overwhelm you, because really all that matters is that we end up with God, right? Revelation 21, verse 3 through 4, it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Man, I'm just gonna be real with you. Like, I can go there and I can study and I can listen to what she said and he said and what she believes and what they think and the scholars think this and all this, but I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna go to a place where I'm gonna worry. The Bible says, do not worry, for it only causes harm. I'm gonna read the scripture for what it is. I'm gonna let God speak to me when I read those things, and I'm not gonna get caught up in trying to understand it all, and I'm not gonna get worried here on this earth about what heaven's gonna be like and what heaven's gonna look like. I'm not gonna worry if I'm gonna wish I could come back here. We're not gonna wanna come back here, by the way. But things are going to be awesome. And I can just see, man, I'm not going to worry about understanding it all. The only thing that I need to know and the only thing that you need to know is that God is there, and then we're going to dwell with God and we're going to be with God forever. And that's all that I need to know, and that's all that you should know as well. I just want to be with God forever. So verse 4, talking about the pain and the tears and all the things, this brings me to my next point. When I think of heaven, this is what I think about the most. I ponder on the ones who went before me. I ponder on the ones that we've lost. I ponder on the people who went before me, man, those who I have memories with, those who that taught me things that I do on a daily basis, those who were close to me, man. The first one I think about is my nanny, my mom's mom. Boy, she gave me this loud, open personality, thank God. Like, she was, by God, you knew she was there when she was there, and she dressed some wild, flowery clothes, and she was happy to be there. She was happy to serve you. She was a doer. She was always doing things, going here, going there, taking us boys to do this and do that. She just loved us. I love my nanny, and I miss her very much, but my grandma, my other grandma, my dad's mom, G-Maw, man, she's the one that made me love cooking, and mainly love cooking breakfast. She was always cooking for us in this big old kitchen she had. We'd sit at the bar, and she would cook for us and do all the things and all the stuff. And she's also probably the reason that I had a bad smoking habit for a good time of my life. But she was tough too. She'd get your butt. She'd tell you, don't go to the end of the porch. There's some wasps down there that I couldn't get to. And if you went down there and you got bit by the wasp, she didn't feel bad for you. She'd just say, hey, look, I'm going to finish cooking lunch. I told you not to go down there. You just sit over in that chair and I'll worry about your little stings later. Like, she was tough. She was hardcore. And what she said, she meant, right? And my gramps, her husband, man, he wasn't real good in crowds, but if you ever got him one-on-one, he was fun to be with. He was fun to be around, and I knew that he loved me. He always let me drive and drive the county roads, and I remember just these memories, and you all have the memories with your grandparents, but one memory with him is the very first yearling that I roped outside in the pasture was with him, a little old sick, dopey yearling. I somehow got up there and caught him, and I was riding a little old horse he named him Six Tons. I don't know why he wasn't about that big, but his name was Six Tons. But these are just the memories that I have, and I think about my best friend and college roommate that I rodeoed with and rode Bronx with. Man, I'll never forget. He was killed in a car wreck. I'll never forget the day that I got the call. I was with Marley in the car and almost got us in a wreck when I pulled over, and like just things that happened in our life. Man, everyone loved him. He was a game changer. He brought life to the room. He didn't let situations tear down his attitude. He was always up. He was always being who he was called to be. He was just a great guy. And I just say all that to say, man, everybody in here has those people that we think about. And I just want to say, don't stop doing that. Don't stop doing that while you're still on this earth. Don't stop thinking about those relationships. Don't stop thinking about what grandma and grandpa taught you. Don't stop thinking about those people, because the Bible says we're going to know those people. We're going to know each other in heaven. The only thing, Cody says it all the time, that we have here in heaven is our relationships. So here's another thing. As a church family, man, the Lord put this on my heart when I was studying about this and reading this. I was just thinking, you know, like, I kind of know several of you in here, and I know some people who have struggled with this, and I know some people that I've gone to the hospital and met with during these times. And it wasn't a common thing. Like, me and Marley didn't know this was a common thing until it happened to us. But a lot of us in here have gone through some miscarriages. A lot of us have gotten pregnant as young people trying to do well, trying to do what we do in life, and then we have these miscarriages, and then we wonder, what's wrong with my body? What's wrong with his body? What's wrong with our life? Like, what are we doing? How come we can't have a baby? And we get all these places, and then we're just down and sad, and especially the mom, and maybe it just goes both ways. You know what I'm saying? But I just say that to say, Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." Because again, I just say, before I was born, God knew me. Before the babies that you lost, God knew that baby. So I believe with all of my heart that one day you and I, we're going to meet those babies. Those babies will be in heaven, and we will get to meet those. And just let that drive you, and let that make you have some passion to go have a family, to build a family, and to not live in fear. The Bible says, do not fear, for it only causes harm. Like, let's keep doing these things. Let's keep trying to have a baby. Let's keep trying to do what the Word of God says. Don't worry about those miscarriages. I feel like we'll meet them again one day. What about people that we read about so much? It's people that we read about in the Bible so much. Like I was saying, I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to talk to Paul. Paul's my guy. He wrote all those books in the Bible, and man, he was the least qualified for it. He did the most, but the least qualified. I want to talk to him about how he overcome his mind, about how he used to kill the Christians, but then he led a bunch of them to Christ. Like, I want to talk to him where in the verses where he talks about, I mean, my body always wants to go over here and go against the grain, and my body wants to go against the things of God, but I always just choose God. But it doesn't say what was his temptations were. It doesn't say what his sins were. It doesn't say what he struggled with. I want to visit with him. And Connor always talks about David. Connor loves David. Connor knows everything about David. Like, when we get to heaven, ain't nobody going to get to worship with Connor, because he's going to be at David's house. And last week, man, Cody was preaching, and he was really on a roll, and I caught this little nugget, and I'm glad I did, and I've thought about it all week, and I hope that you write it down, and I hope that you take it with you. But he said, when we get to heaven, our faith will be overtaken by our sight. Your faith is going to be overtaken by sight. Like, it seems forever here. It seems like our days are long here. It seems like it's taken forever. But you know what? Days here are not that long to the Lord. Like, we have to believe in our faith. We have to keep our faith going so that one day when we get there, our eyes will take over what we believe this whole time. So what about Jesus, man? When we see Jesus, what's it going to be like? I can't wait. Like, I daydream about this. And we read about him all the time. And we think about him all the time. We speak to him in faith all the time. But I want to walk up to him. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to fall down. I don't know if I'm going to cry. I don't know if I'm going to shake his hand. I don't know if I'm going to give him a hug. But I want to see where the nails went in. I want to see the feet, man. I want to see where the spear went in his side. And I want to look at him from the side. And I want to see if I can see where that crown of thorns was crashed down on his head for all the things that I was going to do years later that he knew that he was going to die for. I want to meet Jesus. I want my faith to become my sight. This is something that we need to think about, something that we need to walk with in our daily lives. And don't you know, when we see him, we're going to be so glad that we walked out a life of faith for him. I mean, think about it. When you see him, you're going to be like, dang.
I'm so glad I left that old guy. I'm so glad I picked up this new guy. I'm so glad I believed in what I read, and I'm glad I believed in what was preached. I'm glad that I gave up my old life and put on my new life like Ephesians 4 talks about. I'm so glad. Thank you, Jesus. So my last point today, according to Scripture, it's going to be prepared. Heaven's going to be prepared for you. It's going to be prepared for me, and it's going to be awesome. But we got to get there. We got to get there. We can't just read about it, and we can't just believe that we're good, and we can just do the things that we do and never try to walk the walk and never try to live out faith with God and all these things. We got to make it. So the big question is this. This is the biggest question of the day. Where's your mind? Where's your mind? I can't get to somewhere if my mind isn't on there on a daily basis. I can't get to where I'm going if my mind's not prepared. I can't get there if my heart isn't prepared, if I'm not thinking about it. Where's your mind? Where's your mind at work? Where's your mind at your house? When you're still, where's your mind? Does your mind go to your phone? Does the things on your phone? Where does your mind go? Is your mind on the things of earth or on the things of heaven? Where's your mind? Where's your mind in the truck? Where's your mind at the ranch? Where's your mind at on a daily basis? Where our mind is matters. C.S. Lewis famously stated, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world, the most for right now, were precisely those who thought most about the next world. I'm going to read it again. The Christians who did the most for this present world were precisely those who thought most about the next world. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think about the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. We got to have a mindset of heaven. We got to have our minds focused on heaven. I got to be thinking about the next life. I got to be thinking about what's to come. I got to be thinking about being with Jesus. And that way, when I'm walking through this life, it'll make the ones that are hard to love easy to love. And it'll make the ones that are hard for me to forgive easier to forgive. It'll make my mind have a better attitude about everything, about going to the part store and the part not being ready, about the cows not getting gathered the way that I wanted it to go, or about all the little things and the little squabbles and the little mouth things that we get in with other people and the things in our mind that we think that they're thinking and they're saying and they're probably not even thinking or saying. We're just letting the enemy rip our minds. Like, we got to get to this place where it doesn't matter about this earth. It's all vanity, and we need to be thinking about heaven. We need to be thinking about eternity. It would just be simply better if every one of us could get in a place where we live for eternity and if we could adopt an eternal mindset. If I just woke up and adopted an eternal mindset, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to think about God. I'm going to wake up, I'm going to think about eternity. I'm going to go to my job thinking about eternity. I'm going to go listen to this girl that wears me out at the job. I'm going to think about eternity. Just whatever's going through your life. But it's very easy for me to give more of my thoughts. This is where I struggle. To give more of my thoughts about what I'm doing at the ranch, about what I'm doing with the cattle, about what I'm doing at my home, about what I'm building at my place. It's easy for me to get to that place. But in reality, I need to recheck and I need to zoom out, and so do you. In reality, all that I do has eternal consequences. Everything I do has eternal consequences, but little of what I do here on this earth will even stand the test of time. Little of what I do here, killing myself for the job, killing myself to climb the ladder, killing myself to have a perfect place full of nice pens and all the things, whatever it is, it won't even stand the test of time. It has nothing to do with eternity. I'm not saying this is not an out for you to go start half-butting your job and not being a good employee and all these things. We still need to do Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord, not unto man. We still need to give it all that we got. We need to be good at what we got, and we need to make money and pay the bills and all the things, but we got to make sure that we're not letting making the money and paying the bills override our life for eternity for Jesus Christ and showing those around us Jesus as we do our jobs. We can't wait. Cody said last week, we can't wait till we die to prepare. It will be too late. And none of us in here can outlive the days God has for you and I. So, Connor, if you guys will come, I'll wrap it up. So I just got to ask you, are you prepared? Is your mind prepared? Is your heart prepared? What about the people in your family? What about the people around you? What about the friends that are around you? What about the people that you hang out with? The people that you come across? Luke 10:20, it says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is when Jesus sent out the 72. He sent them out ahead of him to where he was all going to go to all the towns, and they went with power, right? He gave them power over the enemy, and he gave them power over to heal people and do all these things, and they come back, and they were excited, and they were fired up, and they had joy, and they came back, and they were telling Jesus, like, man, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus was real quick to tell him. He was like, hey, look, that's a great thing. But Jesus was quick to tell him, he said, don't rejoice in that, because the most important thing is that your name is written in heaven. The most important thing is that our names are written in heaven. So since our names are there, what can we ponder on? What can we think about while we're here? What can we think about on a daily basis? What can we think about when we're taking care of yearlings, when we're taking care of people's cows being a dock? What about cutting those boards? Man, what are we thinking about? What are we thinking about on a daily basis? What's on our heart? What's on our mind? Are we building things up on this earth that we're going to live? Or are we building things in heaven? Are we taking the ones that we love with us to heaven in the way that we speak, in the way that we act, in the way that we carry ourselves? Or are we teaching them to be more earthly? We can envision and we can think about all the things that I just talked about, but let's read some scripture. Revelation 21, 11 through 14, it says, having the glory of God in its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Revelation 21, 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Revelation 21, 22 through 23. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is the Lamb. Revelation 21, 27. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will become no more. They will need no light of night or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. I'm going to challenge you guys. I've been studying, I've been reading Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a cool book. It's an Old Testament. But Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, it talks about how all this stuff on earth is vanity. It talks about how, what is our hard work for, man? I mean, what is it all for? What does it all gain? It talks about how the seas, none of them are ever full, but the rivers never stop running to the seas. It talks about the sun never stops going down, and it never stops coming up. It talks about generations die and generations come. It talks about how everything that we think is new is really old. If we haven't seen it in our generation, it happened in a generation before. So I say that to say, everybody in this room is sitting in here in a world that we've all seen everything. We can all see everything. We have at our fingertips to be able to see it all. But when we get to heaven, there's going to be things that we didn't never see. There's going to be things that we can't even imagine, things that we can't even grasp. It'll be new things. Our eyes will turn from faith to sight. So as I go through the bottom line, close your eyes and just think about where you're at in your life. According to the Word of God, it's prepared for us. But the question is, are we prepared? Are we prepared for what's prepared? It's prepared for a prepared people. Is our focus mostly on this earthly things? Is our focus on our ranch? Is our focus on our horses? Is our focus on our job? Is our focus on what we do here on earth? Or is it on heavenly things?
Cody said it last week, life as we know it and have always known it, one day it will be over. One day it will be done. It'll be no more, and at that point it'll be too late. Our destination of eternity will be sealed at that point. So the big question, are we prepared mentally, physically? How we walk, how we talk, how we do things? Are we preparing ourselves for eternity? So my challenge for myself and my challenge for you guys, when you leave today and as we begin to walk out the rest of this year and the years to come, let's start making our thought process flip. Let's start having a thought process where our first thought is, I'm living for eternity, but I'm walking through the flesh of this world through Christ. Let's think more about heaven and less about earth. This ain't our home. This is just a little spot in the road when we're talking about eternity. My dad gave me my grandma's book, Bible the other day, and in it she wrote at the very front of it, she said, when we die, we don't leave home, we go home. And as I was studying this morning, really early, I feel, I was thinking about all the dedications of Lot that gave their lives to the Lord this last week. And it's cool, that we get to call those out. And you guys, out of boldness, have raised your hand and wanted to become in the army of God and gave your life to Christ. But I feel like the Lord is telling me, man, there's some people struggling. There's some people struggling that want to raise their hand, that want a Savior, that need help, that are in the fire, that are going through hell, that need help through this life, that are struggling with being the guy to raise their hand, being the guy to stand up or the girl to stand up. And this morning as I was praying, the Lord, I just feel like he was just telling me, you know what, if that's you and you've been carrying it through the week and you've been carrying it through the weeks, and every time he makes that call of you giving your life to the Lord and you haven't raised your hand, man, that's all right. But get with somebody at this church. Get with me. Get with David. Get with Cody. Get with somebody. And give your life to the Lord and let them guide you through those steps. Because when we die, we'll be too late. The biggest decision of our life. So, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your promises, Lord, all throughout the word. I thank you so much for your grace and mercy on our lives, Lord, giving us the things that we don't deserve, Father. Thank you so much for everything that you've done in our lives and everything that you're going to do in our lives, Lord. I just ask and pray that you would chill the minds of the overwhelmed in here today. The ones that read the scripture and feel like they're not getting anywhere and don't understand anything and get worried about this or worried about that and Google this and Google that. God, I pray that you would just give them peace when they're reading, Lord, that they would just have something inside of them that would just come over them, that they would say, you know what? I'm not in my walk with Christ maybe where she is or maybe where he is, but God, where I am in my walk, please just speak to me in this place. Let this word come alive to me, God. Your Bible says that it is living, that it is active, and that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Lord, speak to those people as they begin to pull that word out and as they begin to speak and listen to you, Lord. Let us see the big picture. Let us zoom out. Let us get out of our world. Let us get out of this earthly thing, and let us see, God, where the importance is. The big picture is to be with you, God, for eternity. This is what we come up here on Sunday for. This is why we do Bible study with our children through the week, God. This is why we study through the week. This is why we believe in things greater than this world. Lord, let us see that the importance is being with you forever. That it's not in our job, that it's not in our daily walk. It's not in the things that we get so zoned in this world, God. Let us see the things that are bigger than that. And Lord, thank you for the people that went before us. Thank you for the grandparents. Thank you for the guys we look up to. Thank you for the men that lead us. Thank you for the men that talk to us and the women that guide us and raise us up as young mothers and young women and young men. God, thank you for those who've gone before us. Be with the families in here, Lord, that have recently lost their loved ones. God, be with their hearts. Be with their minds. Give them peace to know, Lord, that they're in a better place, Lord, that they believed in their heart that you came, that you died. So, Lord, they'll see them again. Build our faith, God. Build our visions. Lord, don't let our visions be blocked. Don't let them be too short, Lord. Let us see way out there. Let us see the things that maybe we can't see by our own power, but power through you, God. Lord, put less world in us and more of you in us. And Lord, as we go through this, we all have to go to work, God. Let us concentrate on these relationships. Let us concentrate on godly relationships that we can take from this earth to heaven. Let that be our motive. Let that be our point, God. Teach us to prepare. Some of us in here aren't good preparers. Lord, let us get a notebook. Let us write things down. Let us get to a place where we can set up something in our mind. If we can see it on paper, maybe it'll help us envision it. God, give us strength to prepare for the things to come. And Lord, thank you for writing our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Speak to us in this last song, Lord. Give those who have not asked you into their life to be Lord of their life, God, give them strength to come and find somebody in this church, leaders in this church, so that they may be saved in heaven, Lord, forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.